This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Friends, delegates, and fellow Americans, I humbly and gratefully accept your nomination for the presidency of the United States. Not only have our citizens endured domestic disaster, but they've lived through one international humiliation after another. When our police and the terrorism of our cities threaten our very way of life, where was the sanctuary for all of the other Americans who have been so brutally murdered and who have suffered so, so horribly? Nobody knows the system better than me, which is why I alone can fix it. I am your voice.
The guy that runs Turkey called and said, hey, that guy's got to back it off a little. Listen, the Trumpster apparently lives in a different country than me. And soon that'll be literally true when he wins and he throws me out of his country. But last night, Donald Trump made it official, accepting the nomination. Andrea Darlis is still in Cleveland. And you were there in the hall. Now, there's been a weird thing going on all week with the sound on the news channels, particularly CNN, but I've also noticed it on Fox and MSNBC, where the audio has been really dicey. You know, like they're set up next to a band or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. So you can't really tell how enthusiastic the crowd is. Did he have the crowd in a frenzy?
I think he definitely had the crowd in a frenzy. They were completely behind him. What was interesting, though, or I guess curious, Steve, is that this convention hall, the Q Center, has been packed all week long. Yesterday was the first time where I saw seats up at the top, maybe I guess the top 5 to 6 rows at the very top were open. So people were just kind of walking up there. I went all the way up to the top just to kind of get the bird's eye view. So that's where I was sitting during the speech. And the audio, you're right, it was okay about 90% of the time, but I don't know, I guess you'd have to ask an engineer, but they were plugged in next to a band. So in between speeches, if there wasn't someone coming up after the next speech to talk, the band would play. So maybe that's what got – it was a little bit in and out for us,
too. Yeah, the crowd wasn't mic'd very well, but the crowd was nuts. They loved Ivanka, too, right?
Oh, they absolutely love Ivanka. Ivanka, rather. She was poised. She was eloquent. Of course she's going to do a rah-rah speech. It's her father. That's what she is supposed to do. But I found quite interesting some of the stats that she was throwing out. Of course, then when I went and fact-checked, when I read about the fact-checking of Trump's speech, I found that most of those were either false or questionable, most of the claims that he made.
Yeah, facts are definitely optional with Trump and with Hillary. And it's not necessarily the first option. Here's what you got to say, though. I'm glad you brought up the Ivanka and her dad thing. Mm-hmm. These kids, it can't just be the inheritance. And I know they're adults, other than Barron, who was forced to dress like a Trump. but these kids love their dad.
They absolutely do. They were all there. They were in the crowd. Little Barron came up at the – I shouldn't say little. Barron's tall for a 10-year-old. He came up at the very end. And
is he 10?
Crazy about their father. I think he's 9.
Wow.
Or 10, yeah.
Yeah, he's
tall.
Like 9 or 10. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, and apparently they're all using Trump hair gel. They all had Trump hair comb over. All right, listen, you come back, and we'll talk more in a few minutes, but I have to ask you a different question. There was a cop shooting. Fortunately, the officer looks like he's going to recover. Mm-hmm. But this is not far from your neighborhood. What do you know about this neighborhood?
Well, this is the Prairie District. It's called Prairie Row. It's right by 18th and Prairie, which that is a historic street. Those are all the old homes that Marshall Field once owned, Pullman. Daniel Burnham had a home there as well. Those are multi-million-dollar homes. This is a very ritzy, high-end area. And there's a teeny little – there's a big park across the street from where the shooting was, Hillary Clinton Park, and then which is beautiful. People use it to get married. They host weddings there. And then there's another park, which is where they first saw the suspect, Steve. It's called Fort Dearborn Park. And again, very nice, just very high-end area.
So not an area where you've seen any crime in the past?
I have not, no.
Okay. All right. Just trying to get a bead on it. And again, mm-hmm. we're hearing the officer is going to recover and the investigation continues. And we don't know if this is a specific cop rage sort of thing. We don't think it is, right? Isn't that one?
No, I don't think it is. I think it was they got a call because, I get these community alerts on my phone, too. And I thought, Boy, that is a really nice. In fact, a portion of that street, Steve, is blocked off because it's a cobblestone. They keep it authentic to how it was originally made and preserved. So I think they got the call. It was just a person sitting in a park who was acting strange. And then when the police approached him, he pulled the weapon from a backpack or from a bag.
617, more with Andrea coming up live from Cleveland.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time, it's the time of the show for Lou's First Call.
6:23, and Lou Manfredini should be live at Channel 9. Is that accurate?
That is accurate.
How are you, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How's your hair?
It's surprisingly, it's growing.
All right, so explain what you did. So, we should say American Weathermakers is our friend and sponsor here. We'll get to the first caller in just a second, and we'll give away something from them. But tell me about your hair.
I had hair transplant surgery.
Mm-hmm. And it was taken from my head, clearly.
Well, right. And it is so curly now that I look like that kid from Room 222.
All right. That's
and
a
you have to be a certain age.
That's a funny reference to me. Do we have a more current reference to that? Nope.
Oh, yeah. The guy, Dave Ennett will know. Who's that big the guy we just signed on the Bulls? The big man.
This reference is really struggling right now.
Lopez?
Yeah, he's got a big head of hair, right?
Yeah, there you go. Okay. How about Jennifer Lopez? You got a hair like J-Lo.
No. Not anything like J-Lo. I'm trying to think who else.
Anybody from Welcome Back, Kotter?
Once again, not a contemporary reference.
Like Washington. Right, exactly.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
right.
All of the 21-year-olds are gone.
What's he who are these old people talking about?
So the transplant thing.
Okay, so it is the coolest
growing.
Thing. It is
the process works. It works. You like it.
Okay, it is the coolest thing ever. All right, there's a video that you can see at losehairvideo.com, which is connected with WGN Radio.
Never thought there'd be a website called that.
Nor did I. So imagine they shave the back and the sides of my head. So all I have is the hair that's left on the top of my head.
Okay.
And for those gardeners out there.
It's a hot look so far.
Right. It's a good look. And I kind of look like a Marine, like an old Marine. Mm-hmm. And they take essentially a punch that's sort of like what you use to plant tulip bulbs, but teeny tiny. So after they shave the head, he's got these super duper glasses on. Dr. Yates is the guy. Mm-hmm. He takes the hair follicle all the way down to the root and punches them out and puts them on a dish. 1,800 of them.
And then moves them where?
And then they make these tiny little incisions on the top of my head where all my thinning was.
And replant them?
Yeah. Like planting tulips.
Like acupuncture?
And how do they know if it... Well, I think it's a little deeper than that. How do they know if it takes?
Well, according to Dr. Yates, it's like, all right, here you go. So it will take... you can already see the growth, but it takes about 3 months for you really to start to see it. It'll take a year for it to all come in. And the whole thing is, if you didn't tell anybody, you know, they'd be like, hey, you look like you lost some weight or do whatever, you know. And here's the real test. 9 days after I had the procedure, I was on national television.
And nobody said, hey.
Well, the hair and makeup people were going crazy because the way that they took the samples on the back of my hair, there's no scar. In other words, he like individually takes it so you don't see that they took the hair.
So you were like a class project. They were bringing everybody in to look at your hair.
It was the funniest thing. Oh, my gosh, what's this guy's name? I've got celebrities that they don't, it doesn't look this good. And I'm going, I'm just the fix-it guy. And it's so far so good.
Well,
and,
good.
Yeah.
Well, my best to your head.
Do you have to water your head then, like a chia pet, or what's the deal?
Right? Right. No. The biggest thing was, you know what? After the procedure, I would say for about 4 days or so, it felt like a mild sunburn where they had taken the hair, right? And for 7 days, he had to just be gentle with what. Now I'm a month, 5 weeks into it. I can do whatever, wash my hair, go swimming.
Is this similar to what Urlacher had done?
Similar. Same process, different doctor.
Right. And yeah. You endorse your guy, obviously, because
well,
you like
I mean,
what he did.
I did go see a couple of different doctors, and I felt most comfortable with this Dr. Yates. So I did this kind of on my own, and then it turned into this whole promotion with the station, which, of course, you know, everybody's looking for an angle.
And, sure, of course.
And if this is something that you're in, it can be used. They do this for men, for women, not just hair on your head, but they even do stuff which this sounds like you could do a beard. Right. Think about this.
I don't know that I need help there.
I know.
By the way, I was going to do this because Lou told me about this, and I called up Dr. Yates, and he said, unless you have a time machine, you can turn it into 1995.
Yeah. Well, you do need, you know, hair.
I got plenty of hair on the sides.
Well, right. And I'm telling you.
Nah, it's too late.
It's not.
No, it's too late. It's too late. It's
can I take real quick? I got a funny post because now that those ads have started running, this lady on Facebook said, my brother 25 years ago had a transplant similar to you, and my mother told him, when you get old and the rest of your hair falls out, you're going to have a bunch of scars on your head. You're going to look terrible. And she said, mom's gone now, and my brother is in his 70s, and he's got a full head of hair.
And that's the only reason we dare tell the story
right.
about mom.
Exactly.
All right, let me get Lisa in here. Lisa, what is your question for Lou Manfredini not involving his hair?
No, not involving his hair. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a brick ranch that was built in 1955, so we have the boiler, and we have space pack air conditioning.
Okay.
Well, it's on its last leg, so is it, first of all, can you replace that with space pack air conditioning now, or am I just better off throwing window units in?
Oh, you absolutely can replace that. I mean, the space pack, for those that don't know, is a high-velocity AC unit. And the ductwork and whatnot that you have is, smaller diameter ductwork that can be used on any unit. And so the air handler that actually runs that system can absolutely be replaced. That's not an issue whatsoever. You could call a company like, I don't know, American Weathermakers.
Yeah, American Weathermakers, by the way, are going to give our friend Lisa an April Air Wi-Fi thermostat to adjust the temperature of her home. On her smartphone, brought to you by American Weathermakers, home of the 60-Minute Men. Call 855-955-HVAC. Back to Lou.
Quick cooling tip for people. I'm going to do that this morning on WGN TV. If you have central air conditioning, whenever the temperature gets over 85 degrees and we have the humidity that we have right now, go to your thermostat and switch the switch from auto to fan on. And let that fan run 24/7 as long as temps are over 85 degrees. Your home will be so much more cooler, and you actually will lower the energy costs while you run that AC unit.
Well, that's pretty impressive.
And all you got to do is flip the switch. Because that fan continues to blow, and you think about the lower areas of your home are cooler, the cold air returns are going to grab that, keep circulating it, and telling the thermostat that, oh, it's at 74 degrees or 72 degrees, whatever you have it at. This doesn't work in more moderate, warmer temperatures because the house doesn't have a chance to do the dehumidification, and so the house can become clammy. That's why I give the advice it has to be over 85 degrees.
One more, and then we'll let you fly. I was first caller a while ago, got the Wi-Fi thermostat, want to install it in the double wide, but there's a small Coleman furnace. There's some typos here I'm trying to correct on the fly. We don't have central air at this time. It's a lake house. My husband's not sure it can be used this way. Do you know, Lou?
It absolutely can. It gets wired up. It just gets wired up, and if you were to try and set it to cool, it just wouldn't work because you don't have an AC unit. So it can be used for a heat-only system.
All right, buddy, get on TV, will you? And congratulations to your head.
Thank you very much.
That's Lou Manfredini. You'll be on the radio tomorrow, won't you?
I will.
All right, he'll be on the air tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. And thanks to our friends at American Weathermakers. Tell you what, I always feel bad that the second caller doesn't win, especially when we don't get to the call. So here's the second caller, prize. I've got tickets to the big EAA Venture Airfare or Air Venture Oshkosh situation. Wang Dang Doodle.
Oh, that's a great situation.
Yeah, it's the Oshkosh Air Show. Mm-hmm. So if you want to go to that, I have tickets. 312-981-7200 is the number for that. Quick break, back with a big story in a moment on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
720 WGN.
6:41. If you go with the theory that those who know the candidates best know the candidates best, you got to listen to what Gary Byrne has to say, don't you? Gary Byrne, former Secret Service agent. And the Clinton White House has written a very hard-hitting book on Hillary Clinton. And he'll join us on the phone here in just a second. The co-author of The Art of the Deal is also out this week talking. He says Donald Trump is essentially a 10-year-old, and it scares the hell out of him that he could end up being president. So there's two starkly different perspectives. Is Gary ready, Mr. Byrne? Gary Byrne joins us now. Good morning, Mr. Byrne. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you this morning?
I'm doing fine. Let's establish your what is it, bona fides? You were a Secret Service agent when?
I was a Secret Service Uniform Division officer from 1991 to 2003. I protected the Clintons from the time they started running until the time they left office.
And in your book, you lay out that Mrs. Clinton, from your eyewitness standpoint, had a significant temper problem?
Oh, absolutely. All the rumors that everybody always heard from when they lived in Arkansas, the scandals down there, the Trooper Gate, and all the rumors all came to fruition, all came true when they came to the White House. And myself and many other people witnessed this bizarre behavior and her angry, and in some cases, dangerous behavior.
Well, considering the subject of her wrath, certainly dangerous would be the right word, but there's probably women listening that go, if he was cheating on me the way he was cheating on her, I'd hit him with a lamp, too.
Sure. I get that, but then my next question would be, why do you stay there, and why do you keep exposing yourself and your family and friends to that bizarre, dangerous behavior?
When did you first witness the trouble?
So the first time I saw anything was in the early when they first got into office. One of the first things I saw was one day I was on the South Lawn of the White House. I was on my way back to my post, the South Lawn of the White House is the side of the White House that's closest to the Washington Monument. And I was talking to a friend of mine, and all of a sudden the First Lady came walking out of the mansion very briskly. She was dressed in exercise clothes. She was headed towards the southeast gate, and she was yelling, cussing, throwing her arms up in the air, like almost throwing I don't want to say a tantrum, but she was definitely animated. And you know, we kind of looked at each other like, you know, I guess here we go, you know. And she was headed towards the southeast gate, and there was no protection with her. So my coworker went right over the radio, notified the control center. They came right back, kind of urgent, and said, you know, that the protection detail was aware of it, and they were on their way out. And that quick, an agent came flying out the door, and he was still in his suit, and he was obviously beating his lunch because he was still chewing food. And he kind of put his hands up in the air and rolled his eyes, looking at us, said, they're coming down the knoll there, the hill. And he said, you know, he kind of looked at us like, here we go again. Well, as she approached the gate, you know, my coworker tried to open the gate as slow as he could to give the detail time to catch up. And they did, and the canine officer that was paying attention on the radio pulled around to that side, you know, to help them. And the reason this is dangerous is because, first of all, it's dangerous to Mrs. Clinton. She's obviously trying to ditch her detail because, for some reason, she's so angry she can't really, you know, she didn't appear to be able to understand that what she was doing was dangerous, or she didn't care.
She wanted to get out of the White House as fast as possible, presumably after another fight with the president.
That's entirely possible. I don't know what sparked it, but it certainly, you know, we saw a pattern of it. So it's dangerous to her, it's dangerous to the agents, and it's dangerous to the public. If you were at that park with friends or family, and you, all of a sudden you realize that was Mrs. Clinton, and you started going towards her to say hi.
That would be a problem, yes.
Right, those agents come flying out of there. They're going to treat everybody like a threat. And this is just one example of her bizarre and dangerous behavior, you know, that comes from what I believe is her inability to control her anger at certain times.
Does, I mean, without giving up anything that you can't give up, obviously, as an ex-agent, the way it's supposed to work is if any of the people you're protecting need to go somewhere, they're supposed to notify you first so you have the ability to make sure the detail's ready, or how does that happen?
Sure. There's certain things that are routine. You know, for instance, they routinely get up, you know, they come down, the president himself routinely goes over to the West Wing. And then if they're going to do anything outside of that, yeah, they need to notify us. And actually, President Clinton in the beginning was a problem with this because he wanted to go running outside. And for some bizarre reason, for almost a year, nobody would go and ask him, or he would never tell anybody that he was going to run or not. So the Secret Service had to have set, and every morning was set up to do two different things. Either one, go over to the West Wing, or two, go jogging. And that means you had to have double the manpower. You had to have a motorcade on the South Lawn. I mean, we wasted so much money that first year. It was ridiculous. And then finally, you know, the service kind of took control of it, and some donor came forward and built a track on the South Lawn, like a padded area to jog, and that helped eliminate that. But it was just another weird thing that, you know, what's the big deal? Tell the service what you want to do, and they'll make it happen.
Yeah, of all the things you have to learn once you get to the White House, it doesn't seem that that would be the hardest one to learn, even though it's a significant lifestyle change for anybody. But you've also been under Secret Service protection, presumably for months, as the candidate and the nominee, right?
Right, exactly. And the other thing, too, is, and when, you know, I say this about Mrs. Clinton, when it comes to her anger, if this isn't the lifestyle that you can handle, then leave. Or why would you choose it? You know, you didn't get there by accident. They ran, you know, as governor for years. They used this huge lie spin cycle to make themselves look like that they could pull this off and that they were the right people to do it. They didn't get there by accident.
No, and it's not the first time he did it. Having said that, however, there are certainly women listening now who've been victimized by affairs who can tell you that, you know, reacting to it doesn't necessarily make sense when it makes sense. And when you're in a public spotlight like that, it's another problem. Gary Byrne, 29-year veteran of law enforcement, Secret Service agent during the Clinton administration. By the way, his book is called Crisis of Character. A couple of questions that may or may not be obvious to people. You've had other Secret Service agents say you're full of it and you're making a lot of this up. What do you say to them?
Well, I'm a former Secret Service Uniform Division officer. The people that are coming after me and slandering me is the former Secret Service Association, the Secret Service Agent Association. And actually, it's not the first time they came after me. They came after me about 15, 18 years ago during the Monica Lewinsky scandal. So here's the deal. If I didn't see what I saw, who would put themselves in this position to take all this scrutiny? And two, if I didn't have the access, why during the Monica Lewinsky scandal did Judge Ken Starr subpoena me 6 times? I'm the first employee ever of the U.S. Secret Service who was compelled to testify against the sitting president during a criminal investigation. I was subpoenaed 6 times and then eventually ordered by Supreme Court Justice Rehnquist to testify. So the agents, the retired agents that are sitting around on their backside not doing anything, have nothing better to do than slander me, are wrong, and they weren't there, no matter what they say.
Is there any feeling that you broke a code of silence that's not supposed to be broken?
There is. And you know what? They're partially right. And here's the deal with that. I'm not comfortable about it. As a matter of fact, the first time I talked about it publicly, I could barely get it out. Let's talk about how I got here. I got here because the President of the United States wasn't man enough to stand up and tell the country without having all this investigation and wasting all this money that he did something wrong with a 22-year-old intern.
Right.
So we had this huge investigation. Myself and at least 20 other Uniform Division officers were subpoenaed, some junior young agents, and then one senior agent that wasn't even on the detail at the time. And here's the crazy thing. The Secret Service executives that ran the Secret Service at the time and these high-up agents that were running the detail, they had all the information that Judge Starr wanted, but they didn't want to screw up their lives and career by testifying, so they pushed us forward. They could have put the stop to this, too, and they didn't do the right thing. So anybody that says that I wasn't there, I'd like to know where you were when the subpoenas were flying. And, two, I challenge anybody to sit down on any mainstream media TV show and talk it out, because what I saw, what's in my book, Crisis of Character, is what happened in my life, and a good portion of it is actually sworn testimony.
We're going to run out of time here very quickly, but you're supporting Trump for president, yes or no?
Well, I haven't come out to support him yet publicly, but the truth is I always vote Republican because I like my Second Amendment rights, and I usually vote my checking account, the economy. So, he will be getting my vote. I just haven't said it publicly.
And is anybody compensating you from the Trump the future Trump administration or the Trump campaign in any way?
No, thank you for asking that. Listen, nobody knew about this book. First of all, nobody's compensating me from the Trump campaign or from any Republican campaign. I'm getting paid to, I have a contract to write a book. Nobody knew about this book until Matt Drudge put it on his website around June 28th. I purposely didn't tell anybody, especially the people I used to work with in Secret Service and the people I worked with in the Air Marshal Service, where I just retired from, because I wanted them to have deniability, because I know how vindictive the Clintons are. I know how vindictive Homeland Security and TSA and the Air Marshal Service can be to their employees. So I wanted to give them deniability. Nobody knew.
Crisis of Character, out and available everywhere. It's Gary Byrne. Thank you for your service. I think you have stepped into it to some extent here, but these are your beliefs and what you witnessed. And, I think you deserve credit for speaking out. For those of you who want to read the book, go ahead, pick it up. Crisis of Character. I appreciate you being on.
Thank you so much for your time.
All right. And I also want to get you the author, the co-author coming up, of The Art of the Deal, so you can see the other side of this in the Steve Cochran Book Club. The other side of this is what the co-author of The Art of the Deal thinks of Trump. So we have some equal bashing going on.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
This is the legacy of Hillary Clinton. Death, destruction, terrorism, and weakness. The most important difference between our plan and that of our opponent is that our plan will put America first. Americanism, not globalism, will be our credo as long as we are led by politicians who will not put America first. Then we can be assured that other nations will not treat America with respect, the respect that we deserve.
Makes me tired just hearing it. Donald Trump did an hour and 15 minutes last night. We'll get to the speech of Pat Brady in just a second. But, Jake, tell me when you have it. There's a clip of the co-author of The Art of the Deal I'd like you to hear. He's been on all sorts of talk shows all week long. And he is talking about his regret in co-authoring Art of the Deal. And I thought, since we had Gary Byrne on, bashing Hillary, might as well have this guy on, telling the truth as he sees it of Donald Trump. Pat Brady joins us now. And Pat, how are you?
Morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I can tell you're in Cleveland because you still have that Cleveland smell.
Cleveland did a nice job. I hadn't spent much time there, but downtown was really nice. And thanks to all the law enforcement people there, everybody felt safe. And
Cracker Jack job. Got it done.
They did. And you walk through around the Coliseum or the stadium, and they were really good.
So good for them. And last night, the big moment, Donald Trump's most important speech of his life. Have to say, I was more than a little disappointed that he didn't leave the prompter. He wandered off a couple of times, just briefly, and then got right back on.
A little too long.
By about 45 minutes.
Yeah, a little too long. And if he won 13.5 million votes in the primary, the hard right or the hardcore of the Republican Party, and I don't know if that speech got him 13.5 plus one. At some point, he's got to start appealing to the middle where he went.
Well, the great danger of these conventions is it's an echo chamber. Everybody's screaming at the people in the room. They're already voting for you. What are you telling people, the 30 million who are allegedly watching on TV? What are you saying to them?
Nothing that they want to hear. And it was not. That's why.
Hillary will do the same thing next week.
I don't know. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. If she does, I think it's a mistake. But last night was a swing and a miss. And that's where we are. So we'll see. There is a lot of angst and anger. And we'll see if he can turn that into more votes.
So your grade on the speech is what, other than it being too long?
Probably a D+.
Well, you really
which for me is good.
Is that on a curve?
It's on my curve. No, I sometimes it's hard for me to be objective because I dislike the guy so much and think he's so bad for the party and bad for the country. But I didn't think it was probably a D.
We'll come back. I'll play you that author clip, but also, because he stayed on the prompter, I'm going to give him a C. It's a reluctant C, but it's still a C.
We were thinking about, when we were there, I was thinking about blocking the prompter just to see what would happen. all those speakers are staring at that prompter. If I just put my...
He'd still be talking. Ivanka, on the other hand, and Don and Eric, the other white Trump, I thought the adult children of Trump, they all did a fine job.
The kids were great. Too many of them. And at some point, it's not a comment on them having kids, but at some point, do we really want to hear from the billionaire's kids talking about how they're going to help the country?
Well, this is what I want you to think about, and we'll talk about this after the break. You and I are 2 weeks apart in age, even though I know you look much younger. 2 weeks apart in age. And Dave is much older than we are. However, as a grown man, your circle of friends, your close friends, not your brothers, your close friends, you get two, three.
On a good day.
Yeah. All right. But you have two or three.
Yes.
Prior to last night, when a businessman who I never had seen before showed up and did kind of a casual, sort of engaging speech that then turned out to be a wedding toast that lasted too long and told a couple of interesting anecdotes about Don. Who's his best friend? Who is his friend? Who is his adult male friend that would stand up for him, that would take a punch for him, that would be his wingman, that would give him blood if he needed it, that would be that would walk in front of a bus for him? Who is he?
I think the country, remember during the debates, for the first debate, and everyone said, oh, Donald Trump, this is it. This is a, you know, we're going to beat the establishment, blah, blah, blah. And then you and I were talking by the second debate, when it actually scratched a little bit below the surface, we have to talk some policy or some substance. The more you get to know him, he doesn't do very well.
So stretch that out.
Well, that's
I'm willing to give him the fact that his kids do love him. They do.
And give him credit. He's, what, three marriages and all kinds of nonsense going on in the paper every day.
Right.
For them to get up there and do that, there's something.
But
good
you
there.
Can be a loving father and still be a total schmuck in life. And you think you can't compartmentalize your life like that. I know people like that. I'm telling you.
I know it's not a good political analysis and it's petty, but that's the way I feel about him. I see him standing up there and I go, this does not represent the best of America or even the good of America. This is all bad and it's all fear mongering. It was such a negative event.
It's not the America I live in.
No, and it's not the America that Republicans.
I mean, we have a lot of problems, but the difference is we have problems that we're willing to fix and need to fix. And Obama has been a terribly flawed president on a million levels. But Congress is complicit in that crime. Congress has been a disaster. And that's the Republicans as well. So how about we just go, we got a great, you know, it's a Bill Clinton quote. Didn't write it, but it's a Bill Clinton quote. There's nothing wrong with America. Can't be fixed about with what's right with America. Fixed by what's right with America. I still believe in that.
I do, too. And if you looked at Ronald Reagan's 1980 speech, versus what we heard last night, it's just night and day on where the Republican Party is and who our nominee is. And that's why I'm so heartsick about it, because I think this guy's just a train wreck for us. Not even on the getting elected, just his message. The negativity of his message is not what Republicans have traditionally been about.
I haven't looked at any of the reviews of the speech today. We'll do that in a second as well from other people, other than Pat and I are very fair-minded about this. /7:23 Don't you start, Grandpa.
What do you mean?
You got that look on your face like you're going to tell me don't bend over, you'll hurt your back.
Listen, we're only 2 weeks apart.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a long 2 weeks.
Yeah, I can't tell you how much pain you're going to be in 14 days from now. At 7:23, Jake, what's the name of the co-author of The Art of the Deal? Is it Schwartz?
Yeah, his name's Tony Schwartz. He was on with Stephanopoulos earlier in the week talking about this.
He's done a bunch of talk show hits. Listen to this now. This is the Art of the Deal co-author, someone who spent a lot of time with Donald Trump. Here's his thoughts.
I got to ask you about this sentence you said. I genuinely believe that if Trump wins and gets the nuclear codes, there's an excellent possibility it will lead to the end of civilization. That is an extreme statement.
You know, it's a terrifying thing. I haven't slept a night through since Donald Trump announced for president because I believe he is so insecure, so easily provoked, and not particularly nearly as smart as people might imagine he is. And in the face of somebody like Putin provoking him cleverly, because Putin's a heck of a lot smarter than Donald Trump, I do worry that with the nuclear codes, he would end civilization as we know it.
Give us one concrete example of why it would lead you to that kind of anxiety from your 18 months with him.
Well, he has an incredibly short attention span. He was unable to do interviews with me past 10 or 15 minutes, so that finally I had to sit in his office and pick up a phone by the 8 feet away from his desk to listen in on his calls so I could turn this into a book. The idea that we'd have somebody with a tiny attention span, my two-year-old grandson has a longer attention span than Donald Trump, is itself terrifying.
Trump is now suing that co-author for the royalties that he made off the book.
Hey, does the short attention span mean you're stupid, Steve? Because 15's overtime.
Apparently means you can't bend over and fix your grill. It's 7:25. He also, by the way, on MSNBC yesterday threw in that he is a psychopath, and they corrected himself. I mean sociopath, and said he is 10 years old. All he wants is attention, good or bad. He said, if you are negative with him, it's just as good as if you're positive with him, as long as you're talking about him.
Yeah, I mean, that's clear to a lot of us.
Yeah, well, it has been. And I would argue that everything you've said or I've said in the last year has turned out to be true. Having said that, he is one step away from the White House.
And the only reason he's in the game is the other side is not the same problems, but just the worst candidate I've ever seen.
Awful.
Terrible.
Awful, awful, awful.
Can we come up with another word? I keep saying the worst. There's got to be another word.
There are, but none of them that could be said on the station. Yeah. It's 7:26. All right, so reviews have come in on the speech. They're mixed, largely, if you take out the partisans on either side. We agree it was too long. Will he get any kind of bounce out of this?
I don't know. I really don't. I was thinking the same thing when I was there the whole time. Will this give him that 5-point or 7-point bounce you typically get? I don't know, but I bet he gets a couple, but it won't be 7 or 8. It'll be 4 or 5.
And you saw the electric Mike Pence, the governor of Indiana, who was handed a pretty well-working state when Mitch Daniels left for Purdue and has created his own mess in a bunch of different areas, including social problems. Having said that, he did create a Trump bounce. Trump went from 25% to 26%. In favorability in one poll after Pence was announced. So what role will Pence play going forward? Is he the new Chris Christie? Does he run to McDonald's? What does he do?
I don't think he's the new Chris Christie because he's not that bombastic. He's more laid back. I think for him, it was just calmed everybody down that we actually have somebody in that White House that can govern. And whether you love or hate him, he's been a pretty good governor. And
that's arguable based on what he was handed. But anyway.
Yeah, right. It's not like here. But he does pass the commander-in-chief test. Remember in 08, McCain put Palin on the ticket and got a huge bounce. And
then we got to know Palin, and it cost him the election to some extent.
Right, because after the conventions were later than they were in August, Labor Day, we did an event here for Senator McCain, and he was up 5 points. And then Katie Kirk asked her what newspaper she read, and she couldn't say, and that was the end of the Palin campaign. So I don't think you'll get that kind of bounce, because she did, and I was there. She gave a great speech. But that didn't last long.
Stick around a second. 7:28 more with Pat Brady coming up. Where do you work, by the way?
Next Generation Strategies. Thank you.
All right. Next Generation Strategies. If you Google that and Pat Brady, you can win yourself something off our prize list. I don't even know what that means, Dave. Can you tell I didn't sleep much last night?
Yes, I can. How much sleep?
Three and a half hours. But it was quality sleep.
Of course.
For the three and a half hours. Mm-hmm. We'll come back, get your big story in a moment. Check in again with Andrea Darlis. She's still in Cleveland. And find out how Pat escaped. On the way on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Crooked Hillary. Crooked Hillary, Pop. Crooked Hillary Clinton.
Crazy Bernie. He doesn't give up. Crazy Bernie. He's crazy as a bedbug, but you know, he doesn't quit.
Face it. You know, I have a new nickname for him. 1 for 41.
Little Marco.
I'm not going to say Little Marco.
I refuse to say Little Marco.
It's Pocahontas Elizabeth Warren. She said because her cheekbones were high, she was an Indian.
Lion Ted, Lion Ted. What's your name? My name's Lion Ted Cruz.
You're a liar. Ooh. Bible high, Bible high. Puts it down and then he lies.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next president of the United States, Donald Trump. Proud yet? I know you're in Pat Brady's here. I know you're in Cleveland. And Eric Edelstein is on the road today. Couldn't join us, but will be with us from Philadelphia. I know you're out this week, but if you get a chance, listen to the podcast of Governors Johnson and Weld.
I heard they were great.
Yeah, And I endorsed them on the air.
Yeah, and former Governor Johnson said that he's so serious about his campaign, he's going to quit smoking pot to run for president. Weld's a pretty impressive guy, though, isn't he?
Weld's an impressive guy. Johnson is impressive. Now, he ran New Mexico. I believe it's... I believe you have to smoke pot in New Mexico, don't you?
Yeah, it's the land of enchantment, is New Mexico on the license plates.
At 7:42, Ivanka Trump, was she impressed? Okay, now this is a shallow guy question. Was she...
Why are you asking me?
Because you're a shallow guy. Was she... Well, listen, here's a clip first.
At my father's company, there are more female than male executives. Women are paid equally for the work that we do, and when a woman becomes a mother, she is supported, not shut out. My father values talent. He recognizes real knowledge and skill when he finds it. He is colorblind and gender neutral. He hires the best person for the job, period.
All right, so is Ivanka more impressive than she is attractive? Or does she become more impressive because she's attractive?
Pretty impressive just to get up there and do that. Anybody that's doing public speaking, that's a tough crowd, a tough audience, or tough presentation to make. So it's very impressive she could do that. She's very poised. His kids were phenomenal.
So, I thought so as well.
Yeah, so good for him. He's done something right. And for them to, again, given what he's been through, the three marriages and all the nonsense in the papers, the good kids and proud of their father. But we didn't need to see that many of them. And now the one thing
they're bringing out more today. There's Tito, there's Merrill.
But now that they are out there, my question was, are they subject to the same kind of scrutiny that the candidates might get? So there might be something there isn't necessarily flattering, but they are not going to be the story, hopefully.
And how old is Tiffany? She's in college, isn't she? She's Marla Maples' kid.
Oh, is that where? Yeah, they were sitting.
As far as I'm concerned, the only one that's off limits is Barron. Because he's 10. You know, the other kids are of age. If you throw yourself in the arena, she's 22 and being told. I mean, I'm not advocating anybody should pick on these kids, but I'm just saying, yeah, they've put themselves in a position where they are going to be scrutinized.
Well, the whole thing, though, the disappointing thing to me from the speeches, even their speeches, there was no real substance, no detail of any kind on what he's going to do as president. I still don't know what he's going to do, what he thinks he's going to do, other than these statements that everything's going to be great and there's not going to be more crime.
There was a remarkable moment earlier this week before the Mike Pence speech where it was revealed that Governor Kasich was in conversations with Don Trump Jr. Now, because of Donald Trump's past, he's pretty good at making sure that he can cover himself when he's going to have to tell a story. So he has Jr. go out and make the offer to Kasich for vice president. The Trump people finally admitted that, yes, there was a discussion about offering him vice president. They said it was never a formal offer. But the amazing thing is, and I don't know why Kasich's people would make this up, is that Jr. said, you could be in charge of foreign policy. Now, constitutionally...
Yeah, that's what the president... Yeah.
When you swear the oath to become the president of the United States, you cannot give up the constitutional duty to make those decisions. I suppose you could have someone go do this and take credit for it, but the idea that you would say to the vice president, yeah, now you handle all the foreign stuff. I don't like the foreigners.
Well, I did speak when I saw that article and I was doing media when I was there. I talked to the Kasich people to confirm that or whatever, and it was confirmed to me that the New York Times story was completely accurate.
It's just remarkable.
But he was going to give him the economic job, too, right? He's going to let him have both sides of the presidency.
I think he was throwing that in.
Yeah, that's a bonus.
Because that would give him time to do Apprentice, the presidential edition. So, again, and I think you pointed this out before anybody, it appears that a Donald Trump presidency will be a front man and people he delegates duties to, which we're told is how he runs his company.
Yeah. That's pretty much it, which is disappointing because you'd like to have somebody in there that's got a vision for the country, and that's what I haven't seen from Donald Trump today, and we didn't see it last night.
Well, but I'll circle all the way back again. If that's the business model, and you could argue that FDR did a little of that, you could argue that Reagan did that at the end.
It's a huge job.
It's a huge job. You don't know everything you can. But if you're going to delegate everything, you better have a circle of friends, and we can't identify any of his friends. And I don't mean friends like a guy you're going to have a beer with. I mean people that you've come up with who you really have faith in.
Where in a year of this now, where is the circle of impressive people that have stepped up to support Donald Trump? Or you can go cabinet position for that guy, cabinet position for that guy. I mean, the front runner is probably Newt, and he's Newt.
He's like 90. Remember with Clinton, it was FOB, his friends of Bill. Reagan had his, and Nixon had their California crews. Yeah, but you're right. There's nobody around him, but his family. This is the Trump business, and that's what we saw. It's basically just taking the Trump business and put it on a political stage. I still think it's all set up for a reality TV show, but that's just me.
But it's definitely going in that direction. We'll talk to Andre again here in a couple minutes. Hang around for one more, if you would.
We are going to build a great border wall to stop illegal immigration, to stop the gangs and the violence, and to stop the drugs from pouring into our communities.
7:53, I understand Melania Trump is almost done with Hillary Clinton's speech. Andrea Darlis is getting ready to make her way to Philadelphia. You're coming home first, though, aren't you?
Well, yeah, I'm hoping to. I'm seeing all these alerts that because of Southwest Airlines, this glitch is reportedly, I guess, carried over into today. So I hope I can get out.
O'Hare was a mess yesterday, all day long. And Midway is a mess because of the Southwest problem. And I think there may even be the Friday morning TSA delay there. So if you're trying to fly out today, good luck to you.
Yeah, thank you for that. Hopefully, you and Brady maybe should come back and pick me up since Brady ditched out on me.
Swing back to Cleveland.
There's so much construction on 80. It took me 7 hours.
From Cleveland, really. Yeah. One of the interesting things about doing a convention is all the news stars are there. So Pat pointed
out. I saw Geraldo.
By the way, you saw Geraldo, the pop singer, or you saw Geraldo, the guy from Fox?
Yeah, and Geraldo was walking through the lobby of the hotel, and I screamed Geraldo, and I don't think he appreciated it.
Yeah, I saw Chuck Todd, too, Stephen. Remember the brush-off he gave you at the caucuses? I shouldn't say the brush-off. He was working.
He gave the fake earbud thing.
He was working.
Yeah, if you ever see somebody famous, including anybody on the show, and they have earbuds in and they wave you off like they're talking on the phone, they're not.
He waved you off like you were a stalker, though.
He did. Absolutely did. Yeah, yeah. And then I went over and said hi, and he was frightened. But did you talk to Chuck?
I did. I waved to Chuck, and he gave me the brush off. He was in the middle of a broadcast. I thought, okay, whatever, Mr. Big Time. He gave me the, you know how you point your finger and you go like the little click-click?
Yeah, yeah.
He gave me one of those.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing?
So, I was fake outrage.
Did you see
it over.
Wolf Blitzer? You can't tell from the front or the back. There's no difference.
You know, I've known Wolf for a long time. I never thought about that, and I think you're exactly right. Did any of the surrogates or any of the news anchors stand out as particularly pompous?
No, but what was interesting to me is that the whole CNN team, they had a bunch of security, so we thought they were interviewing one of the delegates or somebody. We thought at one point maybe they were even interviewing Trump because he was doing a walkthrough on the floor. They were actually posing for a group picture, like a professionally set. So they had risers, and then they really blocked off a portion of the right side of the stage while they were taking their promo shots.
How bizarre is that? And did you?
But a great photo of Gail King, though, I got to say.
Anderson Cooper?
Anderson Cooper was there, yeah. He looked fine.
Yeah, and I know Roe had David Muir on yesterday. Were you surprised at how short he is?
David Muir is short?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't see him. I didn't.
He's no more than 18 inches tall. A lot of people
They roam out on the floor. Like, I was standing right next to Andrea Mitchell for a while. They kind of move themselves.
By the way, how about giving her a little credit? Andrea Mitchell, I think, is closer to 70 than she is 60, and she's still running around like she's a kid.
You know who else was, too? I know she retired, but Ann Compton from ABC News.
Yeah, we walked
in with Ann.
Yeah, we love that.
She's so cool. She was all dressed up, and she looked wonderful, and she's retired, but she still was there, you know, doing some work for ABC, some side stuff, and she was wearing pink gym shoes. It's just so cute to see the humanness of everybody.
Well, the closest they get to human.
Charles in charge. I said we talked.
Is Scott Baio still there?
Yeah, he was roaming around the whole time.
So he never left.
Maybe he'll drive me back to Chicago.
And he's possibly going to have a cabinet position.
That was inspiring.
I don't think he's going to be doing much until then, though.
Yeah. And who's the soap opera star that you guys love?
Oh, Antonio Sabato Jr.
Yeah, yeah. Quite a lineup of celebrities. Pat and I were talking off the air. The show business that Trump was going to bring to this convention really never happened.
No, I really didn't. I was expecting to see some bigger names. You know what, though? I think we're going to see many more big names in Philadelphia. They already released the list of some of the bands who are going to be playing. The biggest – somebody actually came up to me. You guys will get a kick out of this. People were hightailing it out of here yesterday, many before the speech. No names, Pat Brady. But no, I'm kidding. But others were leaving right afterwards, and some guy came up to me and said, hey, you want a pair of tickets to the Kid Rock concert?
Kid Rock was doing a show?
Kid Rock was doing a show. I said, I think I'm going to pass, but thanks anyway.
But I thought it would be...
Kid Rock is a big Republican.
Yeah. Yeah. But you think it'd be laser lights and a lot more production to it than it was? It was just so bland, particularly the first 2 days.
But so far...
Yeah, and they had a band playing, too, on the convention floor in between, you know...
Yeah, it was one guy with cymbals and a monkey.
No, literally, it was two guys. One guy had a guitar and the other guy was playing drums, and then the other band joined them. They were like a... band, a local type. I didn't even know who they were.
Garage band. So we're going to get into a couple more details next hour on Cleveland and the aftermath. But in next week in Philadelphia, any predictions? Because my prediction is there's going to be a more aspirational approach and a nicer feel to the convention. But I also believe the ratings will be half of what they had this week, if not less.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think you're going to see more star power. I think you're going to see as much security. And I'm going to go really out on a limb here and say there's going to be Trump bashing. But, boy, the extent of the Hillary bashing here, every speech, you know, there were some great speakers, I have to say, at this convention. They had women business owners. They had African-American pastors. And they really started out, all these speeches were very good and quite motivating. And then they just got on the... Hillary's going to do this. She's going to take your guns away. You know, I'd rather just hear something positive. And I would even go out on a limb and say that we might hear a little more positive in the speeches on Philadelphia.
Yeah, I don't think that's out on a limb. They have to do it. Peter Thiel, the co-founder of PayPal, actually had one of the better moments last night, even though he's a weird little dude. But Peter Thiel actually announced at the Republican National Convention that he is proudly gay. Mm-hmm. And there was a pretty large amount of applause from the audience, which was a pleasant surprise. And, you know, Pat, you've spoken to this for years, and so have I. The Republican Party's salvation going forward, if it's savable, is to get out of people's bedrooms and let people be people. And maybe last night's a step in that direction.
Sure hope so. Hey, Andrew, one last question. Is the lady that screamed Hillary for prison, was she there again last night?
We never picked her up on TV. She told us about it. But we never.
She's eight rows deep, and you could hear
screaming
all the way
Hillary for prison,
screaming it, and the speakers could hear it.
I didn't hear. I didn't see that woman. I saw those signs, though.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Come on, you know the words.
Yeah. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me,
show number 697 continues. Dean, how many people do you think listening know the entire Dean Richards intro?
Every single damn one of them.
You know, there's people walking around in the car. Walking around in the car? Must be a big car. There's people driving around in their car who are literally mouthing the words to the entire thing.
I've had people tell me that they go to work and they can't get the song out of their head.
Right.
I take that as a compliment.
I'm surprised it didn't come up during the Republican convention because of that line, I love you more than white guys should.
I heard that was the music that Donald Trump was going to use at the end of his speech last night. But the guy in the audio booth fell asleep because the speech took so long.
I don't know. What is he going to do for walk-up music if he's elected? Because everyone in the music world is suing him. Everyone, don't use my music.
The latest was the group Queen.
Yeah.
Freddie Mercury's
still dead.
That was his walk-on music with the silhouette and the screen and all that. It was at Monday, I think. Right?
Yeah.
And they said, now for the second time, we're telling him stop using our music, and they're threatening a lawsuit. Now they asked him once. You're not supposed to. Anybody knows you're not supposed to use music without
permission,
or you pay for it.
Right.
He did neither twice, even though he's been asked to not do that.
Yeah, you know, Queen doesn't walk into Trump's apartment and take gold-handled faucets. So, not a great analogy, but you know what I'm saying.
By the way, I don't know if you saw Trump and Mike Pence on 60 Minutes the other night, sitting in those
first time they met, apparently.
Those gold thrones. I threw away all my furniture. I now have just furniture like that in my house now.
It's not at all ostentatious.
No, it's and super comfortable, too.
Yeah, no doubt. If you want to just kick back.
Yeah, you want to just lay back and watch some sports. That's the kind of couch you want to be laying on. I put plastic on mine because I'm from a Greek house.
So don't you think Trump probably has a reclining gold, one of those lazy boys, but it's all gold?
I hope so.
Make life perfect. Woody Allen doing in town?
They had a little special screening of his new movie that's called Cafe Society.
Because I was told they were rolling out a new dating site where fathers date their stepchildren. That's not it?
Actually, Sun Yi was with him last night.
Oh, boy.
At the event. How long would you say that they've been married? Because I was I saw her last night. I'm like, ooh, Sun Yi's here. Scandal. And then I looked it up, and I was shocked at...
I bet it's 20 years.
It's 20 years, exactly. You're exactly... I would have said 5-7 years, maybe 10 on the outside.
Well, she was 8 when they got married, so that's why you're confused. creepy.
Seems like a very nice person.
Just
considering,
so creepy.
Considering all that gone through.
You want to play this now, Jake? You want to play a little bit of the Woody Allen?
It's, Woody talking about, he's got a long history here in Chicago. And he's got this, his first ever TV series that's coming on Amazon Prime. He talked about both of those things. You like coming here, and you like coming and doing red carpet.
A lot of great memories of Chicago because I played Mr. Kelly so frequently, and I had friends here. And I, first I started coming here just to play Mr. Kelly's. Then I made so many friends here, I would stop off on the way home all the time in Chicago just to hang out for a week, to go eat ribs, to go to clubs, to... it was a great town.
I'm really interested, and I can't wait for your television series to come out.
It was hard for me. I thought I was going to be a breeze. It was very tough. I mean, I did the best I could. Miley is great in it. Elaine May is always hilarious. And I did my best. But, I just hope people like it.
The formats, of long form versus... Short form, though, must have been odd for you.
I did 6 half-hour shows. I thought it's going to be a breeze. I can knock this off, without waking up in the morning. But it was very difficult. Much harder than I thought. I hope it came out all right. You start out thinking this is going to be great, and when you finish it, you just hope that you're not embarrassed.
After all these years riddled with insecurity, just like the rest of us.
He was a great stand-up. He talked about the Mr. Kelly days.
Yeah.
You can find a little Woody Allen stand-up on YouTube and various places, but he really was a funny stand-up.
And his early films, I'm a huge, huge fan of his early films. I haven't seen his new one yet. His latest films are usually pretty hit or miss. There have been more misses than there have been hits with those. But you go back to the Annie Hall days, Purple Rose of Cairo, some of the early
films.
In his
prime, yeah.
You can't beat those films.
What was a film a couple of years ago with Owen Wilson? I think it was called
Midnight.
Oh My God, Is This Over Yet?
Oh, really? You didn't like that?
No.
Midnight in Paris, I think it was called. Yeah. I liked that one. It was...
Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil?
I think that may have been something different.
Something a little more classic.
I think that might have been a little more Shakespearean, maybe.
Midnight in Paris, I'm being told, is what it was called.
That's what I had.
The sitcom, but it also stars Tony Danza. It's called Who's the Pervert? Is that right? We'll come back. Jon Stewart returns to late night TV.
The TV series, by the way, is going to be Amazon Prime late September for those who aren't busy calling their lawyers right now. And
Dean will also review 3 fine films or 3 films that are very average. We'll find out.
Oh, they're good ones.
Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 972.
Wintrust Community Banks Hour continues with Dean Richards from Channel 9. Dean, earlier today we gave away a 4-pack of day passes to the EAA Air Venture Oshkosh. You ever been to that Oshkosh?
I've never gone, but I've always wanted to go.
Pretty cool. I used to be a wing walker.
I know that. I remember that back in the day. For years we called him Baron von Cochran.
Right. Right. And then obviously the little Trump turned into Baron von, oh my God, what have I gotten myself into? it's the world's greatest aviation celebration for the whole family, and it goes on through the weekend. It's July 25th through the 31st. In addition, Dean, still to come, Tom Jones tickets.
What?
That's right. When you hear this,
it's not unusual.
You'll go, where the hell's the rest of the song?
I just heard it.
Yeah, you'll be the...
Does this count? Should I be calling and not talking to you right now?
720th caller. Too many? All right, seventh caller.
They love in the control room when you do stuff like that.
Oh, the cursing. Seventh caller, next time, not now, next time you hear that clip for Tom Jones at the House of Blues on October 3rd. And tickets go on sale this morning at 10 a.m. from LiveNation.com and Ticketmaster.
If you don't win on Steve's show, and let's be honest, most of you are not going to win. I am also giving away tickets to Tom Jones on my Sunday morning show.
Oh, you are?
This week. But again, only one of you are going to win. Honestly, most of you are not.
Apparently, I got the name of the Woody Allen TV series wrong. It's Everybody Loves a Little Woody. Is that right?
Is it?
I'm being told that's the right answer.
Really?
That's not it? Wow, that's embarrassing. Father Knows Bus. Is that it? Father Knows Bus? Dave, don't laugh. You just encourage me. All right, let's go through some of the other things happening in show business.
Did you have you seen any of the Jon Stewart?
I actually saw this live last night.
Stephen Colbert this week. I got to say, I mean, I'm a Stephen Colbert fan. I know it's except for this week, his ratings have been pretty darn good this week. It's been suffering in the ratings.
Yeah, and there was talk of James Corden maybe taking over.
Yeah, I think they're going to be
not buying it.
Rethinking that after delivering a pretty power-packed week. But he has had some pretty amazing guests on last night. I fell asleep, but I've watched some clips and the one section of the show with Jon Stewart, formerly of The Daily Show, back on, was searing, brilliantly written, thoughtful, I thought. I mean, not everyone's going to agree with him politically, but beautifully delivered. And we've got a little something here that won't offend the majority of their audience listening today that is pretty typically funny Jon Stewart.
Well, the convention's over. I thought Donald Trump was going to speak. Ivanka said that he was going to come out. She said he was really compassionate and generous. But then this angry groundhog came out. And he just vomited on everybody for an hour. But the Republicans appear to have a very clear plan for America. They've articulated it throughout the convention. One, jail your political opponent. Two, inject Rudy Giuliani with a speedball and Red Bull enema. And then three, spend the rest of the time scaring the holy bejesus out of everybody.
It was really, really well thought.
You know my favorite line from it, and I don't know if you've even seen this in the clip. Jon Stewart, like you like him or hate him, whatever. But Jon Stewart went to the mattresses to try to make sure that the first responders bill was re-upped in Congress. And there were cowards on both sides of the aisle who wouldn't do it. These are the people who either are sick or dying and need health care, who were working the pile in the days after 9/11.
Yep.
And he was the guy. I'm telling you, without Jon Stewart, it doesn't get done. And one of the points he made in his rant last night, which is absolutely true, is, and you could say this about anybody, but in this case it's about Republicans, you don't own the position you claim to own. You don't own you're the one that cares about the police and you're the one that cares about the firemen, because where the hell were you when I was trying to get this done in Congress?
Yep, amen.
So it was impressive.
Amen. You know? Worth taking a look at, I think. It's all, of course, all on the web.
Let's go to the movies. What'd you think of this Lights Out horror film?
I liked it. It's a good old-fashioned scary movie. Without the blood and guts, without the gore, without, all the usual bloody mess that sometimes we get with movies like this. Also, pretty much without me having to take a motion sickness pill before I go see a movie. That's my biggest pet peeve of going to see the movies, these handheld movies.
Yeah.
Supposed to be so realistic. I literally get nauseous when I go to see movies like that. I can't take it. So this one is just, it's maybe the most overused premise in horror movie history. family living in a house. Steve, there's an evil demon. There's an evil presence somehow in this house. Yet they don't leave. They stay in the house.
Well, it's their house. Yeah, we're just staying in the evil presence house.
Especially when the lights go out, do they stay in the house? I hate that. When the lights go out, everybody just stays in the house.
They stay in the house. I mean, in some ways, they're forced to.
A lot of people made fun of me in the old days because at one time, Dean, I found myself in the woods at a campsite. Yeah. And there was supposedly a scary guy with an axe in the house. And all I had on was panties and a bra. And yet I went in and looked through all the closets.
Now, there is a visual image I'm not going to ever be able to unsee.
All right, so Lights Out is okay.
La, 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 la. What?
Lights Out is okay.
I liked it. I gave it a B. It's just really good old-fashioned, super suspense, super white-knuckly, perfectly paced. Really liked it. Gave it a Dean's List B. Did you ever watch the old Absolutely Fabulous?
Sure, funny show.
I thought it was hilarious. Yeah. I loved it.
Does the movie hold up?
If you're a fan of the TV show, the movie holds up. It's a thin plot line. It's really what amounts to kind of an extended episode. But if you're a fan of the show, it's nice to see everybody back, not only the two leads in the show, Jennifer Saunders and Joanna Lumley, as Adina and Patsy, sweetie darling, but these two vodka-soaked messes stumble through basically the plot of the movie is that a supermodel goes missing. They're accused of doing it, and you know how they get around that. Plot doesn't really matter. It's just bringing back the old characters and the old lines and seeing these two stumbling through London and the French.
And it stars Kathy Lee and Hoda?
Riviera. I hadn't really thought of that, but now once they get a couple of glasses of wine in them, it is actually kind of similar.
Yeah.
I think you need to be a fan of the TV show in order to really appreciate. It's like a really great inside joke that not everyone's going to get. Gave that one a B minus. But the Star Trek movie, spectacular. Give that a Dean's List A.
Wow.
Hugely spectacular. The director of some of the Fast and Furious movies, Justin Lin, has taken over this franchise, and he brings that like signature explosive special effects that work, that are meaningful, that are mind-blowing when you see them, to the story of Captain Kirk, now played by Chris Pine, is thinking about stepping down as the commander of the Starship Enterprise. They go on a routine mission. They're ambushed, and the crew and really the whole universe is threatened by a brand new villain. That's basically what the storyline is about. I gave it an A.
Oh, an A. Okay.
I really loved it because of it's big and impressive. But what I really liked about it is that he also focuses on the small interpersonal relationships between all the characters. It's like we're meeting these characters almost for the first time and discovering sides of them that we never knew before.
That's not easy to do.
So I really like that. They wove into the storyline a beautiful tribute to the late Leonard Nimoy as well. And I thought that was really touching. So that's the one to see this weekend. If you're going to go see anything, see Star Trek.
And here, Dean, on Sunday, rumor has it he will have Tom Jones tickets. And for the texter that just texted, said, Steve, I know you're just kidding around with your slightly offensive Woody Allen TV show titles. What's the actual title? It's The Cosby Show. all right, have a good weekend.
It's untitled right now, by the way.
Back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
In the summertime, when the weather is hot, you can stretch right up and touch the sky.
It's Tom Skilling's walk-up music.
You got women, on your mind. Have a drink, have a drive, go out and see what you can find.
I am blessed in this life to call this guy my friend, Tom Skilling. America's meteorologist. Hello, buddy. How are you?
How are you, my friend?
Nice to talk to you. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Good to talk to you as well. And I feel the same way about calling you my friend. So how are you holding up in the heat? It's been tolerable so far, hasn't it? Because we brought these little storms along every now and then. The only thing is they unleash some pretty good winds.
I am trying to uphold the tradition of wives everywhere referring to their husbands as idiots when 12:30 hits today. I will be joining three pals to play golf.
Good.
And 12:30, the heat index ought to be 100, shouldn't it?
It'll be approaching that. Yeah, it'll be pretty warm. But, you know, it could have been worse had we not had these storms working over the atmosphere a little bit. But, oh, you'll handle it, Steve. It's summer in the city. You know, the most dangerous time is later in the afternoon as we get to the peak heating time. It'll be interesting to see if we pop a thunderstorm. We got a little bit of a cap in place. But, you know, that's nature's air conditioner, one of these thunderstorms. They mix down the cooler air. Did you know, Steve, that if you're on the golf course, if you have one of these thunderstorms come along, the temperature at the top of those things can be 80 below zero. And so, like with that squall line that came in yesterday about 1 o'clock, ran down the lake from Kenosha and Racine, dropped our temperature from 90 down to 70 in about, 5 minutes. So it's pretty amazing what these storms can do. They mix down the cooler air, temper the heat a little bit.
You know, the thing that strikes me is the problems they had at the airport yesterday, which had nothing to do with the Southwest issues, that come up all the time. And I'm the person that always tells you, don't be yelling at gate agents when there's a weather delay. You know, there's a lot of things going on that determine whether or not your plane takes off.
Sure.
But having said that, thunderstorms in Chicago are not a surprise. Severe weather in Chicago is not a surprise. And the handling of some of the flights at O'Hare yesterday was ridiculous.
In what way, Steve? I mean,
well, for instance, my wife was going out of town to open a store. She works for a company called Vera Bradley.
Yeah.
So she's got five flights that are either canceled or have gate changes. Okay, it happens.
Sure.
They put her on a plane at 8 o'clock. What am I doing at 8 o'clock? I'm looking at the Channel 9 radar.
Yeah.
And I see that we've got a section of purple, red, and blue.
Now, that was a mean, bold line of thunderstorms.
I mean, come on. It was Hook Echo Central.
Yeah.
And coming our way, and I'm thinking, unless that plane's already got the engine running and the people getting on the plane are running to catch it.
You don't want to be taking off in that, do you?
No, so they ended up sitting on the tarmac for 2.5 hours, and then they come back. I just the decisions that get made baffle me. I would love to see a great piece of investigative reporting of how O'Hare is handled during a storm. And again, I know this sounds like I'm just ripping them, but there's got to be better decisions because this is not a little airline. It's a relatively large airline that rhymes with American.
well, you know something? They have become very proactive in cutting off flights, and that's criticized when it's done, too, when they anticipate these.
Nah, you're right. It is a no-win, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is, and you're absolutely right. That was the second squall line to roll into the city. That thing started up in central Wisconsin. It left, a path of debris in its wake, trees down and everything else. I was just looking at a picture somebody sent me of a lightning strike that took down one of their neighbor's trees. This thing blew the trunk apart, and down came the tree. But we were looking up at that line and what it was doing in Wisconsin, that 60-mile-an-hour wind gusts, hail, huge amounts of rain, almost 3 inches of rain up in Madison. And that thing was in that arc shape, that bow shape, and that's always a proxy of a line of thunderstorms that's producing some very strong winds. You do not want to be taking off of that. It's kind of interesting because, you know, once that thing developed, it held together and it moved pretty predictably. It occurred a little bit earlier than we thought, and it may be in their planning that they anticipated this line coming in later at night, which had been the thinking earlier in the afternoon. So maybe that's what was going on.
Yeah, well, again, I don't know what I'm talking about. I just know that it feels like American ought to be a little better at it than they were yesterday.
Yeah.
Hang on, I want to ask you about the heat. It's the great Tom Skilling. There's nobody better. By the way, he'll do forecasts for your kid's birthday party or bar mitzvah.
Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
I sing at those, too, by the way.
Yes, he does. And I book him for all of those.
You want to really be frightened, you ought to hear that.
Just got a couple more minutes here with our friend Tom Skilling. All right, is this a heat bubble? What are we under? This might help if I actually put them on the air. Is this a heat bubble? What are we under here?
Yeah, it's a big dome of hot air, Steve. And, you know, it's prime time for heat. This is the 2 weeks of the year that have produced the most hundreds in this area. We're going to sneak by without an official 100 on this. These thunderstorms have kind of tempered the heat a little bit. But it covers a huge area. It runs all the way from the Plain States eastward to the Appalachians. So we have lots of company in this. By the way, I checked your heat index at golf game time. It ought to be about 97.
Oh, that's nothing.
Nothing. You've handled that before.
I might wear a parka just in case I get a chill.
Absolutely. And with that, real pillow around you, you know, how can you lose?
So here's the thing. People don't respect the heat the way they respect other types of weather. But the heat is as dangerous as ever, right?
You know something. More people die, Steve, of, heat than of tornadoes, floods, thunder, lightning strikes, you name it. Isn't that amazing? It's the most deadly extreme weather event, heat. We found that out in 1995 in that July heat wave. That remains to this day the biggest natural disaster in terms of a death in this area. Over 700 people perished in that. And it's insidious because, oftentimes the deaths are recorded under something like heart failure or respiratory distress. But it's brought on by heat. So you've got to take it seriously if you're out there exerting yourself.
I heard you talking to Roe yesterday about this talking about leaving Channel 9 in the middle of that, and there were no lights on in the city.
Oh, it's stunning. I remember that 1995 heat wave. You're right. We left after the evening news, and it was like a third world country. There were flashlights in Wrigleyville because there was no other illumination other than headlights because the power had gone out. And, I can't help but think that was one of the issues that contributed to the death toll there.
Bottom line is this. If you have an elderly neighbor.
Yeah, or look in on them.
Yeah, if you got somebody in your life, obviously your grandparents, your aunts, your uncles, whoever.
Right.
But if even the cranky old guy down the street that wants you to keep the ball out of his yard, go knock on the door, offer him a lemonade. Just, you don't have to embarrass anybody, but just say, hey, just checking on you. It's hot out here. Can I do anything for you?
Steve, I'm sure that will be greeted warmly. no pun intended, but you're absolutely right. We got to look out for one another. And, we took apart that heat wave in 1995 and looked at what was going on there. And a lot of the victims were the elderly and folks who live by themselves, and nobody thought to look in on them, and the family members weren't available. So, it's something to take seriously, especially if you're out exerting yourself. On the other hand, if you use some common sense, you can avoid problems with that. So that's one reason we flag it, just to let people know that we're hitting levels of heat and humidity, the combo that can be a little bit dangerous.
I tape over 200 popsicles to me whenever I go out in this weather, and it does cool me.
That's good.
You get kind of messy, though, with those pillows wrapped around you, too,
It really is, but you got to have a system. All right, listen, nobody's better than Tom Skilling. He has 47 newscasts to do starting at 4 o'clock this afternoon.
I know. Well, this is the first one. I've had the honor of doing the first one of the day with you, Steve.
Man.
I mean, is there any better way to start the day?
Well, not as far as I'm concerned, but I have to be here. You're good enough to join us. And we'll hear you this afternoon with Roe. Have a great weekend, buddy.
You too, Steve. Good luck with that golf game. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, sir. And back with Andrea from Cleveland in a moment on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Music is a world within itself, with a language we all understand.
Well, getting better than Stevie Wonder, does it?
With an equal opportunity for all to sing, dance, and clap their hands.
I gotta give James Corden a little credit, even though he stole the idea from the show. The carpool karaoke has Michelle Obama in the car with him this week. So, if you're so inclined, viral video fans. 9:10 in the morning, we go back to the Cleveland International Airport. It is international, isn't it, Andrea?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. What kind of cluster is the Cleveland Airport this morning?
Okay, I'm saying this unbelievably cautiously, but remember when you said, hold on for 1 second, and I said, you marry a producer, and I said, let me go through security, and I'll call you when I get on the other side. It took about 2 minutes. And I'm saying this cautiously because I hope my flight takes off, because they had so many problems today. The SkyCap, where I checked in my luggage, I won't tell you what he called it this morning, but he said it was unbelievably crowded. It was an absolute mess.
So everybody got out early, in other words.
Yeah, everybody was trying to leave early, and that's when a lot of the problems that they had yesterday gets carried over into this morning, and that's where all the problems were. Now things are kind of back to normal, but I have to say, there are some delays from Cleveland into O'Hare, not into Midway, at least from Southwest where I am, to Chicago.
And I understand Roger Ailes, the former chairman of Fox, is working as a sky cap in Cleveland. Is that right?
you know, that was weird. He did hit on me.
Yeah, of course he did.
And I said, can you just check my luggage, please? And he wanted to check something else. I said, no, it just got weird. It got weird.
Well, that's why he's out of work. All right, so before we close up Cleveland and pack you up and send you to Philly, you come home for a couple of days. The storylines of the convention this week that jumped out almost felt manufactured to a point, because even though there was some huge stepping in it by the Trump organization, none of the scary storylines we were concerned would develop did. And once again, we want to congratulate the security of the people at Cleveland getting it done.
Yeah, no, I completely agree.
Until now, when they shut her phone off. Did we lose her? Yep. She's officially on the dark side of the moon. We'll try to get Andrea back. It's 9:12, Steve Cochran. Let's do this. Take a break. We'll come back. We either get Andrea back from Cleveland, or we're going to celebrate a little local milestone as well with the fine people at Gene and Giorgetti's. It's their 75th anniversary.
A landmark, an institution.
On 720 WGN.
Egg and daddy. Oh, nel blu, dipinto di blu.
Coming up in just a couple of seconds here, we're going to talk to Tony Derpetti. Family still runs Gene and Giorgetti's 75th anniversary. Is anybody that has ever made Chicago a regular stop of any level of fame that hasn't had a dinner or a lunch at Gene and Giorgetti's?
You look at the list of celebrities who have been there.
I keep sending my picture over and they keep sending it back.
They just want you to sign it, Steve.
No, they want me to sign for the check. Why wouldn't they? It's 9:17. Andrea, we lost Andrea. I believe we found her.
I know. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, now we have you. But I know you're about to get on the plane, so I just wanted to give you a chance to wrap up your week.
I'm good. This is funny. So you couldn't hear me, so I was on the phone with Mary, and I said, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? So I'm literally standing. I'm kind of balancing on one leg in front of a Cleveland Cavaliers 2016, you know, commemorative display here, because I guess they won this little thing called the championship.
Yeah, the championship,
And by the way, the RNC merchandise, the swag at the airport is really good. I could have just bought everything here, but this is kind of scary. They have these life-size plush Trump, Hillary, Obama, and Ronald Reagan dolls. And the Reagan one, I almost thought, the Reagan one was really strange. It kind of looked like Herman Munster, because he had black hair, and then he has white on the sides. And I thought, who is that? Oh, my gosh, it's Ronald Reagan.
What is the Trump? What's a Trump plush doll look like?
Like what you would think a Trump plush doll looks like. I'll have to turn my head. Actually, the Trump plush doll has pretty cool hair. So it's definitely not a great image, a great likeness of him.
Yeah, maybe Don should just cut that off and slap it on his own head. And none of the Trump kids haven't earned their own dolls yet?
No Trump dolls. No Eric Barron might be. They might do a Beanie Baby of Barron, but I haven't seen that one yet. And I have to say, again, since I've been talking with you, I mean, I've been at the airport now 20, 30 minutes. Things are moving great. Security is going quickly. All the Southwest planes, with the exception of, I think, 4 flights out of here, were canceled today or delayed. So things appear to be back on track. Again, I'm saying this very cautiously optimistic. I'll call you when I land at Midway.
Right, but here's the thing.
If
you got somebody coming home from Cleveland and they're claiming it's jammed and the airport's crazy, Andrea just outed them. They're full of it. The airport's running very well.
And I have to tell you, Ann Compton was right behind me in the security line. How funny is that? And, you know, she's dressed to the nines. She's all dressed up. I have my Lou Malnati T-shirt and my Rock and Roll Hall of Fame hat on. So I said, oh, it's Andrea from WGN. She went, oh, yes, dear, yes, like you poor thing.
Covered in tourist swag like you've never left Chicago.
Right.
All right, get back safe. Hold on. Let me put you on hold. Give Andrea something from our... Oh, no, she can't win. She works here. In 1941, FDR was elected to his third term. You know who FDR's vice president was?
His last vice president was Harry Truman.
Mm, third term.
Third term.
Third term. Not fourth term, third term. Henry Wallace.
Oh, yeah.
Act like you don't remember Henry Wallace.
Hank. We called him Hank.
Ed Kelly was the mayor of Chicago. The Bears were champs. The Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. The life expectancy was 62.9 years.
I'm there. Not and quite.
And yet, be quite. Dead real soon.
And yet you look like you're going to make 10 o'clock. The gallon of milk costs 54 cents. A gallon of gas costs 12 cents. 12 cents. How about that? Just some fun facts from 1941 when Gene and Giorgetti started. And here in studio with me, one of the proud proprietors, Tony DerPetty. Good morning, Mr. DerPetty.
Good morning.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you very much.
Also for Rosemont.
1 year for Rosemont, 75 years for Chicago.
So funny. It took 74 years for people to finally go, Tony, open another restaurant.
I said we're a very progressive group. It took us that long to open one. So.
I love you guys. I've spent a lot of money at your place, and I've never had a bad meal.
Thank you. That's very nice of you to say that. So.
You know, Gene and Giorgetti's, this is not one of the things I think you should be very proud of. You're not exactly on a runway. It's not a location where, you know, a million people are walking by every day. People seek you out.
It was worse than the old days. I mean, there was nothing around there. Now there's a lot of buildings around us, at least.
Right, you know. Right. But it always seems like you're doing great.
Thank you. We do the best we can. We don't take anything for granted. So.
You had the garbage salad lately, Dave?
Not lately. No.
Oh, the garbage salad's great.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You know what it is? It's a man salad. Mm-hmm. You can have the salad, think you're eating healthy, and yet it's a giant salad.
With two shrimp on top.
Yeah. Except when I come over and I go, throw a couple extra shrimp on there, Tony. Would it kill you? Right. What are you doing for the anniversary?
Well, we got a three-day event going. Started yesterday. $75 for two people to have dinner.
Really?
You get a choice of
two. That's a nice price.
I'm sorry?
That's a nice price.
Well, you get two appetizers, two salads, two entrees, a side, and two desserts. $75.
It's pretty good.
Now, all of the proceeds will be donated to Cystic Fibrosis Foundation, which in 2015 awarded us the Jean Blanchet Lifetime Achievement Award.
Well, that's very nice.
So
it's very nice. And is there a particular tie as to why that's the cause of the family?
Well, we're very involved with them. We sponsor their event in February every year over the last couple of years. And it's just something we got to know the people.
Because it matters.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's all you need to know because it matters.
Exactly.
75 years, give me a couple of your favorite stories. Maybe stories that the founders told you or whatever.
Well, the founders were Gene Michelotti was my father-in-law. That was my wife's father.
Yeah.
Along with his partner, Alfredo Federici, who was nicknamed Giorgetti after a famous bicycle racer in Milan, Italy. So they started in 1941 and built it up to a very progressive place. A lot of politicians, movie stars, and so on. One of the greatest stories was Lucille Ball. Back when she did the movie Mame, back in 1974, I think it was.
Okay.
They wanted to close the restaurant to do a premiere party on a Saturday night. And my father-in-law wouldn't do it. He said, I've got too many regular customers. I can't just close the place for you people and so on. So she heard about this. She walked in one Saturday afternoon and says, I want to meet the SOB who wouldn't close this restaurant for me. And my father-in-law said, that would be me, honey. And actually, they became friends from that day forward. They used to get together in Palm Springs all the time.
Yeah, Lucy was a regular girl from upstate New York. And so I would imagine she was impressed with somebody that said, I don't care if you're Lucille Ball. I got a regular group of customers coming in.
Well, that's the way he was. He took care of his regulars, for sure. So,
how many stories are there that you've heard through the years that you can't tell?
Well, if the walls could talk,
right. You think about a city like Chicago and a business that's in business for 75 years, and it's one of the great restaurants. I mean, you know, if those tables could talk.
The tables
what kind
could
of
talk.
Deals were done in the restaurant?
Well, the biggest deal was the Merck deal that was actually
was that struck at the restaurant?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Two different meetings, right, inside the restaurant. And then, in fact, Charlie Carey was one of the main guys on the deal. Took a picture of himself in front of the window out in front and said the deal was consummated at Gene and Giorgetti.
And it's one of those napkin deals? That's a classic move where you're writing a figure on a napkin, you slide it across, right? One of those.
Yeah.
The staff, I know some of the wait staff's been with you forever. Anybody in particular?
Well, there's one waiter's been with us 45 years. I've got other waiters there. The newer guys are there 22 years.
Yeah, the kids.
I've got a couple of dishwashers in the kitchen, believe it or not, who are there 39 years.
Wow. How about that?
It's amazing. In fact, one of the dishwasher's sons are executive chef now.
Well, it's a testament to your family because, people, if they didn't want to work there, they could leave. You know, they want to be a part of the family. You must take good care of folks.
We're one of the only restaurants, too, I think, that pay all the medical insurance for all our employees. Every single one of them.
So. Yeah, it's not common in the restaurant business.
No, not at all.
How'd you meet your wife?
I'm sorry?
How did you meet your wife?
It's funny. I could tell you a quick story. I was actually born 200 feet west of the restaurant.
Is that right?
Way back when. 310 West Illinois, right across the Assumption Church.
Yeah.
And I used to walk down to the restaurant and open the door for people to make tips. And some guy in a white shirt and an apron and a tie and so on would swear at me and throw me out. And, you know, in second grade, they tore the buildings down. We moved about five blocks north, the Wells and Superior.
Okay.
I went through school, got drafted in the Army. I was in service overseas for 2 years. While I was in the service, my brother bought a house across the street from what became my in-laws. So I go visit my brother, and I saw this girl in front of her house, and she looked pretty good to me. So I asked her out. She accepted, and in that period of time...
Wait, hold on a second, Tony. What kind of move did you have when you asked her out?
Opened the door.
She sees this creep hanging around next door that keeps staring at her.
Well, she didn't. She wasn't even born then. So,
But it's a pretty girl. What'd you do? You went over and you said what?
I said, hello. I just talked to her. I said, my brother lives right across the street, and you know, I asked her if she'd like to get together. She said yes, and... In the meantime, her mother put together who I was from the old days, because her father,
the kid we used to throw out. Exactly.
My father went to school with her mother for a short period of time. You know,
how long did it take before the in-laws loved you?
I think right away. I think they liked me right away.
So. Yeah, good for you. Well, that's a good story. You're a good man, and you got a great family, and you ought to be very proud.
Well, we got three generations now. My in-laws were the first. My wife and I, and now we got my daughter Michelle and my cousin Richard Sciotta. We're all involved in the business, so three generations.
Yeah, and the restaurant business is tough. It's tough. You know, it's long hours, and it's a real commitment. So for the family to be there, that's good. That's great.
Well, thank you.
Got to do your heart good.
Thank you very much. So
happy anniversary.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to be here.
Nice to see you again. 75th anniversary in 1 year out in Rosemont. Let me tell you something. You give Tony another 74 years, he's going to open up a third location.
I bet he will.
Man, he'll do it. Don't you stop him. 927 back after this on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Lena's birthday approaching. She's dropping hints of what she would like. Ole doesn't get the message, and finally in frustration, Ole says, Lena, what do you really want? Lena says, well, I want something bright and shiny that can go from 0 to 225 in 2 seconds. So Ole bought her a bathroom scale.
When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on a riddle. I've made nothing but a funny, funny riddle.
Thank God I'm a country boy.
Orange Jam is a nice to take a couple of minutes with us today because he knows Tom Vilsack way better than we ever will. All right, so the agricultural secretary, was he once a governor of Iowa?
He was the governor of Iowa. He was a candidate for president on the Democratic ticket along with the several others 4 years ago.
So you know, he's not the favorite. The favorite continues to be Tim Kaine, but everybody mentions him in the top three. Does this seem like a vice presidential pick for you?
Well, it would be good for some of agriculture. As Earl Butz once told me when he was secretary, he said, when you become secretary, half of the farmers like you, the other half hate you, and that continues to be the case. But I really would be surprised if Tom Vilsack were selected, because I talked to him about it a year ago. I interview the secretary every year in December, and I said, so 8 years is coming to an end, and he is the first secretary since Orville Freeman back in the 60s to serve two full terms. I said, so when this term ends, I said, do you want to work for a new president if the president is Democratic? And he looked at me and said, no, I don't think so.
Really?
But, you know, that feeling could change, and I think it has. And I'm sure he would accept if selected, but frankly, I would be very surprised. I'll say this about Tom Vilsack. I was critical of him when he first came on board because his first approach to it was that we can feed the world with Mrs. Obama's garden on the White House lawn. And people in conventional production farming felt that he really was ignoring them, because you're not going to feed the world without the conventional farming that we have developed in this country. And so I was critical of him. But
well, he kind of learned on the job, didn't he?
Yeah, even though he's from Iowa, an agricultural state, and was mayor of a city in southeastern Iowa. Yeah, he is learning on the job, but he's learning different policy. He has been a strong supporter of renewable fuels. and that will make just about every corn and soybean farmer happy in the country. So it's going to be interesting to see if indeed he does get picked. I was frankly surprised to see his name on the list. So
we have gotten to a point in this country, whether it's the insane arguments that continue about GMOs or the food labeling controversy and various other things, where there's no talk about food policy, about the health of agriculture in general, about the health of the land that we need for farming, about the ability to hire workers. Neither candidate is addressing any of that.
Well, as I think I want to revive for a moment what's bugging Orion and mention the fact that, yes, I have not heard agriculture mentioned once at the Republican convention. I don't think we're going to hear it mentioned at the Democratic convention because, frankly, I don't think Mr. Trump or Mrs. Clinton have any knowledge of what it takes to put food on the table. And I've already gotten some comments on the email after my discussion this morning about Donald Trump's trade policy on trade agreements. And I can't agree with him on that because without trade going both ways, we're not going to be able to maintain agriculture as we know it. But the two things that bug me, I quit watching presidential coverage of campaigns about four campaigns ago because I just got tired of my watching and hearing what I heard and then having my brethren in media tell me what I heard. And they do that constantly. I think we watch CNN coverage most of the time, and they did it constantly. I know what I heard. I know what I saw. I don't need them to tell me. And frankly, the two things that bugged me about the convention, we spent more time on a lady who used words from a previous speech who is not even on the ballot than we did on issues. And we spent more time on Ted Cruz than we did on the issues.
Yep.
Both of those incidents had nothing to do with running a country and leading the world, and it bugged me like all. And then I wish the media now would say to CNN, how come you cut away from the Pledge of Allegiance to go to commercials? Because they did that.
Oh, I didn't know that. I missed that.
Yeah, when they introduced the Pledge of Allegiance, they went from the stage, took a commercial break, and so anyway, I've gotten that out of my system, but that's what bugged me. I'm doing? I have to tell you what I'm doing Sunday.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm flying in a B-17 Flying Fortress, the workhorse bomber of World War II.
Whoa, very
because
nice.
Ahead of the Oshkosh show, they're bringing in a lot of World War II Vietnam airplanes into the airport at Janesville. And my good friend Paul Wallum gave me a ticket to ride the B-17.
How cool is that?
It is very cool. It's going to be a little different than flying in a Cessna 210.
I'm going to pick up your patriotic theme before I let you go.
Yep.
I don't even know if you saw this, but there's a show, America's Got Talent, and one of the kids on it that's blown the judges away is a little girl named Heavenly Joy. How about that for a name, by the way?
It's a great name. Gloria watches the show, and she's commented on her. You know?
5 years old. Yeah. 5 years old. She was at the RNC last night doing America the Beautiful. We'll play that now, and thank you, my friend.
Have a good day. I'll see you next week.
And listen to this and enjoy it, as we will as well. This kid is five. Listen.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber who is a
highlight of the week right there, kids. 5 years
old. It's unbelievable.
Old. She had the cute little kid thinking of being, oh, isn't this adorable?
Yeah.
Suddenly she's Aretha Franklin and she met Gladys Knight and they had a baby. Unbelievable. 9:49, Bill and Wendy coming up at 10. So many stories didn't have time to get to this week. Let me just give you a couple of them. Show of hands now. Who remembers the guy that shot the big game, a lion in Africa, and there was a huge kerfuffle for several days? He was a dentist. Remember the guy?
The guy from, was it Minnesota?
Minnesota. Yeah. You like lion karma? Here's the lion karma. Walter Palmer outraged the world last year when he shot a beloved lion named Cecil outside the Wange National Park in western Zimbabwe. They never pressed charges against him. Well, it seems that the dentist, Walter Palmer, has a place in Marco Island in Florida. And units were called in on Sunday because somebody stole his boat and it caught on fire and burned.
Oh, no.
Yeah, the boat is worth $62,000. Well, it was.
Whoa.
It's not right now. Like, I don't want anything bad to happen to him, but a couple of you, I'm sure, are enjoying that story.
Mm-hmm.
How about this? You ever fly, look out the window and go, how does a pilot know what that is? Or that is? Wait, I don't see that. Everybody sees that. I don't see that.
And when he says, look out your window and you'll see to your left, you know.
Yeah.
The Empire State. And you're like, what? I don't see anything.
Yeah. A geologist named Amy Mirbo is the co-creator of something called Flyover Country. It's a new app that she's about to roll out, available on iOS and Android. It uses a combination of Wi-Fi and GPS and will give you in real time what you're looking at when you stare out the window. So
it's pretty cool.
It syncs your location while you're flying on the plane. And you go to the app, you look out the window, and you'll see what's below you.
So you can see Pokemons from there?
No, you can't. No.
Would the app work for that?
I don't think it works for that. You can't hunt Pokemons. But you can tell what's going on down below you and what you're looking at or what you might be looking at.
That's pretty cool, I guess.
Michigan police are using 3D printing to try to figure out why someone was murdered by taking the finger of the deceased and copying it in a 3D printer.
You know, I've heard about this. This is kind of nasty. But they can make really cool. They can make new noses now from 3D printers. If you want a new nose,
the people at there's all sorts of applications. Yeah. The people at Wilson Sports had a 3D printer before they were even cool. I saw them doing a baseball glove, like an actual baseball glove and a printer.
Yeah, the stuff you can make is phenomenal.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Keith Olbermann, not the most pleasant guy in the world, but a pretty talented guy. Turns out he might have been listening when I suggested that we give Mike Madigan and the leaders of the state of Illinois mental health exams, starting with me. This is before they came up with the temporary budget. Keith Olbermann gave Donald Trump a clinical sanity test last night, and he didn't, or 2 nights ago, and he did not pass.
What a surprise.
Donald Trump's tax plan recalculated this week would mean a $7.1 billion reward for his family and cost taxpayers upwards of $10 trillion based on what he says he has. And what we know we have. And the last VCRs ever are made in one place. They will roll out the final VCRs ever made next week. There will never be another VCR made.
Well, how are we going to watch our old Disney movies?
I'm sure they'll always
have the collection.
Isn't that what Craigslist is for? You can buy it on there.
Yeah, they'll have them all.
Or Amazon. Have you ever tried to find something that Amazon doesn't have?
No.
No.
Yeah, they have everything.
Yeah.
But you still got to watch those. I mean, they're relics.
Oh, I've got boxes and boxes and boxes.
Yeah, we all do from when our kids were little.
9:56, Bill and Wendy are next on 720 WGN.
Never miss a story.
First, the big story, and Andre Darlis is here with it.
Repeating our top story.
That's your money on 720.
It is the big story for this hour.
Chicago's very own news team is on duty.
We'll have the latest news as it happens when news breaks.
Today on 720 WGN.
I'm certainly not the only one who says, I love this place. Listen to what golf pro Emil Esposito had to say when I sat down with him at Jameson's Char House.
The great thing about Jameson's Char House, their service is outstanding. And if I have any people that I'm trying to entertain, I bring them to Jameson's Char House. The food is outstanding. It's our favorite restaurant.
And I don't know about you, but when I walk into Jameson's, I feel like I've walked into my own home because everybody knows me and treats me, as you say, very well.
Yeah, the whole staff there, Orion, they're taught, and they really enjoy waiting on you. That's the key for that. And it's really important because it makes the meal and everything, the whole atmosphere, perfect. So it's great. My favorite one is the 11-ounce filet. I mean, what you get there at the Jameson's Char House, it's the best.
Visit Jameson's Char House online at jameson's-charhouse.com. Jameson's Char House, offering lunch, dinner, private rooms, carry out, even purchase gift cards. Visit a Jameson's Char House near you in Mount Prospect, Bloomingdale, Woodridge, Crystal Lake, Huntley, Skokie, and in Glenview.
It's the Chevy. You get to get to the farmer's market. You got to get to your barbecue. You got to get to the kids' baseball game. Got to get to the big league game. Got to get here. Got to get there. You're going to do it in your ice blue Chevy Impala.
Blue Thunder. Oh, sorry, Blue Thunder.
Bill Blue Thunder.
Bill?
I thought you were going to wait till after the news started.
No, that would be too long.
Chevy's packed Impala with a rear vision camera, lane departure warning, and all the other tips and tricks. There's no ticks. I love my Chevy Impala. Now during Chevy's summer sell-down, find your bonus tag, get over $8,000 cash back on a Chevy Impala LTZ, but only until October 1st. Bill, what would you do with $8,000 cash back?
I'd waste it.
You wouldn't waste it on a brand new Chevy Impala LTZ.
No, that's just the opposite. That's the best money you ever spent.
That would make you a genius.
Yes.
And the ice blue Chevy Impala.
The Blue Danube.
What?
Did I say that wrong?
Blue Danube?
I thought it was the Blue Danube.
The Blue Danube? Is that what you're going for?
I don't know what that is.
The Blue Danube is a favorite song, famous song.
Yeah. Never heard of it. Yeah.
He
never
just said
heard
it
of
differently.
It.
Yeah. The Blue Danube.
The Blue Danube.
Be a good name for a car.
Let's try it on a new way here at the end. I'll say, Chevy Impala, you just yell out Papa Smurf.
All right.
Head to your Chicagoland, Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer today and get a ice blue Chevy Impala like mine.
Papa Smurf.
I'm not sure any of this works.
That's not working.
If you count down to big savings, it's ChevyDriveChicago.com. How are you guys?
Couldn't be better, Steve.
I'm feeling blue.
Still on pins and needles after the Trump speech last night?
Yes. It just ended just before we walked in.
He did a great job, people.
It went into extra innings.
Very long speech. You think so?
I do think so. I was telling Bill off the air.
I didn't have that that feel.
I did. I feel like, you know, he put people's mind at ease and, you know, from the sound of things, his supporters.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
From the sound of things, it sounds, wow, this is the guy. I just don't believe him or trust him.
Okay.
But it sounded good.
Then as it turns out, we are in agreement.
Trust is way overrated, Steve.
Yes.
Way overrated.
Yeah, that's true.